Amen. We're in Hebrews tonight, chapter 11, as we're looking at this journey of faith and what an example these individuals that God has pulled out of the Old Testament and the New Testament to help us understand this journey of faith that we're on. Because each one of them had to have a journey of faith as well. And so tonight, as we looked at last week, we saw Abel and his journey of faith. Tonight we add to that. Abel was sort of the crisis moment. He's giving his life. He's walking by faith, not knowing the consequences, but he knows it's going to be dire. Tonight we come to a unique individual, and the Word of God does not speak much about him at all. But he's in the Hall of Fame of faith. We come tonight to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5. And again, it starts by faith. By faith, Enoch was translated. You know, that word simply means carried over. Carried over. Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him or carried him over. But before his translation, he had this testimony, and I pray we all could say this one day, that we have this testimony, that he pleased God. He pleased God. Many stories we read are powerful stories, especially the stories from the Word of God. Our stories of our life give us meaning of who we are. And how we become who we are is based on those stories of our lives. Our stories help us realize how God was working even when we were not living for Him. Have you ever taken a backward glance at your life and looked at saw the hand of God move through your life, put you in certain circumstances where either He got your attention or He had people in your path that got your attention for God? It's interesting to do that retrospect and look back at your life and see where God has brought you from and to see God's hand all along the way through those stories of your life. Our stories help us realize where God has been in our lives. He's always been there working. And it gives us understanding of God's love for us. Just think of how you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Yeah, I've told the story several times. I won't go in detail here. But I did not know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior until I was 19 years old. And I grew up in North Carolina. I grew up in the Bible Belt. I grew up churches on every street corner that were preaching the gospel. But it was not until I was invited to the right church that I heard a clear presentation of the gospel at 19. That's part of my story, and I can look back and see God's hand moving in so many directions, so many ways of my life. Some of the most powerful testimonies of Christian faith come from the retelling of how God has worked. Go out soul winning. You're like, well, I don't know how to soul win. I don't know how to go witnessing. I don't know how to talk to anybody about Jesus. They're going to trip me up on the Scriptures. Tell them what Jesus did for you. They can't dispute that. That's your story. Tell him what he did and how he can do that for you, for those that you're talking to. So one of the most powerful testimonies of faith comes from the retelling of what God has done for us openly, but also behind the scenes. As we journey through this precious chapter, we are going to learn, and we are learning, how individuals who have chosen to live by faith have made a difference. Not only a difference for their day, but a difference for eternity. And how their lives and their journey of faith help us to walk by faith. we are discovering that it is God who labels these individuals as these heroes of the faith. Because they were willing to say and to express to God, I will, or yes, Lord. That's really the definition of their life. When they said, they're going to live by faith and we're going to do this thing for God, they're saying, I will, Lord. Yes, Lord. They are I will and yes, Lord people. And a biblical expression of our faith is communicated by saying yes to God. When we study these men and women, we discover that they were people who made a difference with their lives. And they were ordinary, ordinary people with extraordinary faith. The reason they made a difference was because, number one, they had a relationship with the Lord. They knew God. They lived their lives in service to the Lord. And it was God alone who they served. These were individuals committed to God and His work. They discovered what God was doing and then said, I want to be involved. You ever find yourself questioning, why am I involved? Why am I in church? Why am I at all these activities? Why am I at all these events? Maybe it's because you said, yes, God. I will. The result of a yes, Lord, or a I will, Lord expression, the result of that decision is what propels individuals into a walk of faith. So we come back to verse 5, the book of Hebrews. Tonight we see one who walked by faith. By faith, Enoch was translated, carried over that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. We are introduced here to Enoch. In this verse, like Abel, in the previous verses, there's little recorded in the Word of God to commend him to undertake the most supernatural journey a human can have, a walk with God to heaven. However, his life, even though the Word of God is very silent on why God commended and he pleased God with his walk, even though the Word of God is very silent on those things, we can see and we can understand from what is said that his testimony spoke volumes about his relationship with God. Enoch's life is summarized with some of the deepest, most caring words of the Bible. He was a man who walked with God. Walked with God. Notice, hold your place in Hebrews, we'll come back here, but go to Genesis chapter 5 and let's look at the other place the Word of God talks about this giant of the faith. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22, really, we come into where Enoch is discussed, and it's in the middle of a genealogy. Now, I'm not like most people. I'm not normal. I want that on my tombstone one day. He was not normal. Because I don't like to be normal. I don't want to be normal. God calls me peculiar. So I want to be peculiar. I like genealogies in the Bible. Now, most people, if you'd be honest, most people probably read right over them. Okay, it starts the begat, where does it end, the begats, and go on over. I love the genealogies. I find so much meat in the genealogies. And here we have another reference to this great man of God, and it's in the middle of a genealogy. Notice verse 22 of Genesis 5. And the Word of God says, "And Enoch walked with God." Well, amen. "After he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." Now, we're in the middle of a genealogy, but let me point something out here. Methuselah is the oldest man that ever lived. 969 years. He saw quite a bit. But notice between the birth of Methuselah what it says. "And Enoch walked with God after the birth of Methuselah," after Methuselah, 300. 300 years of what? He walked with God for 300 years. Then it goes on to say, "and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Isn't that interesting? 365 years. 365 days in a year. Verse 24, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." And that's pretty much the summation of what the Bible says about Enoch. But what words? He pleased God, and he walked with God for 300 years. His life, he is a man who walked with God these 300 years on a daily basis. And then one day, he and God just kept on going, on to heaven. What a journey. He was a man who was at peace with God. How do you know that? Glad you asked. I'm going to show you in just a minute. He was a man who had a deep, intimate relationship with the Lord. How do you know that? I'll show you. Enoch enjoyed a close communion with the Lord that all of us should desire and crave. Enoch's heart was toward God, not the world. He looked to God as that indescribable treasure of everything he desired in his life. He found it in his daily walk with the Lord. Nothing, oh hear this, nothing separated Enoch from the Lord and his walk. Not money, not business, not the world, not self-pleasure, not even his family. He had a Miss Enoch at home. Well, how do you know that? Well, he begat sons and daughters. I think that would take a Miss Enoch as well. So one day he kisses his wife and says, "I'm going out for my walk with God again." "Okay, I'll see you tonight, honey." Except he didn't come home. He was not found, the Bible says. He was not, or he went on to heaven. Enoch's life teaches us how to walk with God in a fallen world. Enoch's life had a mission. It had a focus. For 300 years, I'm going to walk with God. Picture in your mind, as one Baptist preacher has said, Enoch walking with God in the coolness of the evening. Just as night and day are meeting, lengthening shadows begin to fall between the earth. Together they walk, speaking, communicating. One, the created, the other, the Creator. And as they walk, Enoch pleases God. Daily this walk takes place. It takes place in the chill of winter and in the heat of summer. It takes place daily, walks with God in the freshness of spring and the foreboding of fall. And then one day, as Enoch and God walk together and as the sun slowly sets, Enoch notices that he has traveled far from home and from his family. And possibly he turns to God and says, I did not realize we had walked together such a distance. Should we not turn back before the deepness of night falls? And God, hearing these words of a man who pleased him, said, No, Enoch, let's continue our walk. Tonight I would like you to go home with me. And together God and Enoch walked the gates of glory. The idea to be pleasing to God is amazing, considering how many are not pleasing to God. But Enoch did please God. These two walked side by side. Enoch kept pace with God and stayed close to his side. And one day they just strolled off together. What a way to be set free from this earth. I think that's even better than being taken up in a fiery chariot. But I said I'd come back to this, and I'm going to it now. How do I know these things about Amos, since it doesn't say that about Amos, that or about Enoch, that how do we know that he walked side by side with God? How do we know he kept pace with God? How do we know he had a right relationship with God? How do we know he had peace with God? I'm glad we talked about that. Let's go to Amos. Amos chapter 3, over in the Minor Prophets. Hosea, Joel, Amos. I've seen a song in my head. Amos chapter 3, notice verse number 3, a familiar passage of Scripture. Amos 3:3. Give you a moment to find it. Amos 3:3. The Word of God says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:3. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. There was a right relationship there. There was nothing between him and God. There was
also, if we
no
go now to the word
bitterness,
of God,
no hatred, no inner sin that he's hiding from God. He let God have him. God. If he didn't, they could not have walked together. Enoch's life had purpose. The purpose was to walk with God. Walking with God implies consistency daily. Consistency daily. Enoch did not just walk with God for a while and then quit. He did not stand still while God walked away. He walked beside God. He never left God's side for 300 years during their walk. He walked in unbroken fellowship with the Creator of it never says in the Word of God that Enoch argued with God where they should walk. Which direction are we going today, God? That, Enoch didn't ask that. He just walked with God. Enoch, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 5, that Enoch walked with God. It does not say that God walked with Enoch. That's two different things. Enoch followed God. God's direction, God's guidance, God's leading. He went where God went. His walk did not just draw him closer to heaven, but it put distance between him and the things of the world. His desires changed with each step he took with God. What happened to the first 65 years of Enoch's life, before Methuselah was born. We don't know. But a change took place. And he made a conscious decision. I'm going to daily walk with God. I'm going to be consistent in my life. He did not attempt to walk to heaven on his own. No, he chose to walk with God and follow God's path and leading. Enoch's walk caused his faith to soar and his eyes to be totally fixed on God. It tells us we have to be intentional in our walk. It teaches us that we are to be consistent in our walk. It teaches us that we must be protective of the time we have with God. Guard it. A daily meeting with God is one of the most greatest necessities of our lives. And it's one that most Christians neglect. They allow the excuses of life and the busyness of life. They allow the prevailing winds of change in life to counteract our walk with God in a consistent daily practice. One of the most difficult things to maintain in your Christian life. So how can we do it? Well, it starts with a commitment. Make a commitment to do it every day, to walk with God every day. If you want something to dominate your life, do it daily. Pick a time that's best for you to do it, and then guard that time. Satan's going to attack it. When you start your walk with God, though, be realistic. I'm going to spend 3 hours this morning. I'm going to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to spend 3 hours with God before I even start the day. Well, if you don't normally get up until 8 o'clock, that's probably not realistic. Let's start with something realistic. I can set my alarm clock 30 minutes earlier, and I can spend some time with God before I start my day. Don't form too high of goals. Well, I'm going to start a new prayer list, and in this prayer list, I'm going to pray for all of Africa. Well, that's quite a goal. Let's take it one country at a time. Let's take it one missionary at a time. Let's take it one city at a time. Let's pray for Brother Vincent. Let's pray for his national pastors. Let's pray for Togo. Let's pray for the missionary letters that you were passed out, I believe, tonight. I saw some being passed out. Pray for those missionaries and the work. They have the same burdens that we have, just more. Set a realistic time to pray. Start, you're going to say this, blasphemy. Start with 15 minutes. Start with 15 minutes and then if you can do that consistently at the same time every day, daily, for a month, add 15 more. And now in 2 months, you're doing 30 minutes of walking with God. So when my schedule is so hectic, so busy, if you can only do 3 minutes a day, start with 3 minutes. Now, I'm all for reading my Bible through every year. I'm on a different schedule than the church is on because I'm constantly thinking of messages and I'm just way out there on different things and study. So I'm constantly reading my Bible and I read 2 to 3 chapters every morning in my Bible. And I'm all for reading the Bible through in a year. But what's wrong with taking one verse and digging into that verse? And digging into that verse. I have done Bible studies where I have been on 1 to 3 verses for a month. That's all I read. Every morning for a month I'll read 1 to 3 verses and over and over and over until God, I said, God, I don't understand this. Holy Spirit, illuminate these passages so I can understand what you're trying to teach me. Oh, those are special times with the Lord. And they might be 5 minutes. But you know, after a month of reading the same verses, you're going to know them. You're going to memorize them. You're going to meditate upon them. Bible reading and Bible study doesn't have to be a scary thing. Just start. Make it a daily practice. If you can hang in there consistently for 6 weeks, statistics say you can start any habit, good or bad, and if you consistently do it in 6 weeks, it's stuck. So stick it out for 6 weeks and see what God's going to do in your life. Enoch did it for over 300 years. Don't allow discouragement to kill your walk with God. Be creative. Some days actually do a prayer walk. Take a walk around your neighborhood and start praying for neighbors as you pass their house. You know their names, you know their children's names, or maybe you don't. Take a walk around your neighborhood and start praying for individuals. When you have people's mind come to your mind in the middle of the day and you don't know why they pop there, pray for them. One of my favorite places to pray is in the car. I don't close my eyes. Don't worry. But that's one of my favorite places to pray. I just turn the radio off. There's nothing good on it anyway unless you're listening to Christian radio. But to me, that's a distraction in the car because it's me and God. And I've got a 20-25 minute ride to work. That's a great time to pray all the way to work. Make it a part of every day's business to read and meditate on some portion of God's Word. This is not mine, but it's profound. Yesterday's bread will not feed the laborer of tomorrow. Yesterday's bread will not feed the laborer of tomorrow. Do as the Israelites did in the wilderness. Gather your manna fresh every morning. Enoch also teaches us not only how to walk in a fallen world, but he teaches us that God desires for us to walk with Him. There's an unspoken parallel here in Hebrews. Back in Hebrews 11, there's an unspoken parallel here between Enoch and Adam. Before Adam and Eve's fall, there was a regular evening appointment with God. A standing invitation to walk with Him in the cool of Eden's. Genesis 3 verse 8 says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." We are never told that whether Adam and Eve kept this appointment, but I would like to think they probably did. This daily walk with God. Even after they sin, God keeps the appointment. He comes down in the cool of the evening to walk with Adam and Eve, and they, with their shame and guilt, they're hiding in fear from God. Enoch walked with God, we are reminded. And when we think of Enoch's walk, we think and we're reminded of Adam and Eve. God desired to walk with Enoch, just like He desired to walk with Adam and Eve. The difference is that Enoch kept
Take your Bible and go. You know, God always keeps His appointments. We're going to begin in Luke, chapter 10 tonight, where we're going to pick up.
He keeps it with Adam and Eve, even though they're hiding. When God has an individual that chooses to walk with Him consistently, oh, what joy. And for 300 years, God says, Are we taking advantage of the choice that God has given us to walk with the Creator? Are we letting life come in the way of our walk with the Creator? Not only is there an unspoken parallel between Enoch and Adam, but there's also an unspoken parallel between Enoch and their son, Abel. We consider when Abel and Enoch, we put these two lives together, we think and we ask ourselves, which hero is it harder to imitate? Abel, who makes a righteous choice with fatal consequences. Or Enoch, who lives an entire lengthy life with spiritual consistency. Well, first impulse, we're tempted to say Abel because you read those stories in Fox's Book of Martyrs. And they make difficult choices. And they endure agonizing pain. We wonder if we would have the courage and the strength to stand up and to emulate their faith. Yet, but upon deeper reflection on this, we must admire Enoch's faith. The longer we live, the more we should appreciate the difficulty of living a consistent, godly life that finishes well. I could take you to pastors' homes tonight who no longer are in the ministry. Not because they've retired, but because they have chosen the world. Know that breaks God's heart. But what about us? What about us Christians? What about when we choose the world rather than God? What about when we choose the things of life over the things of God? That grieves the Holy Spirit of God as well. Our greatest spiritual challenge is rarely adversity. Our greatest spiritual challenge is usually consistency. Consistency. Think on it. Consistency in studying God's Word when our schedules are so busy. Consistency in prayer when you feel emotionally or spiritually drained. Consistency in outreach when you are fed up to hear with the excuses of the public. Consistency in giving when the needs seem endless and your resources are thin. Did you ever think that consistency would get easier as you grew older in the faith? Age does not guarantee spiritual success. The key is commitment and consistency. Daily. Think back in the book of Acts and the first deacon, evangelist Stephen, as he's being confronted with the population that's against what he is saying. Would we have the resolve to stay calm like he does when faced with adversity? God seems to expand and grow our faith in times of adversity. But if we think of the daily challenge of Enoch, pleasing God daily in a walk with God to heaven, pretty challenging. Abel and Enoch are two ordinary witnesses. They give expert testimony of how to live by faith. While their perspective are far from identical, it is in fact the difference in their testimony that is so compelling. Abel, through his acceptable offering to God, provides evidence that living by faith involves obeying God no matter the consequences. Enoch provides evidence that living by faith involves a daily, continuous walk with God. It means hanging in there. It means requiring endurance. It's not measured just by starting well, but by finishing strong. So we have to ask ourselves a couple questions that we've already asked ourselves in this study already. How big is your God? How big is your God? And do you desire to walk with Him? God already desires to walk with you. Do you desire to walk with Him? Last week we looked at how strong is your faith. How strong is your faith? If God required you to obey to the extent of a consequence that you know is going to be difficult, are you willing to have the faith, a strong enough faith, to obey God? But then also tonight, how consistent is your walk with God? Is it daily? The pathway of faith will involve both crisis and consistency. Abel and Enoch are both charter members here of the Hall of Fame of Faith. The first two named Christians, saints of God, in this great chapter. But you know, there's another mention that we've looked at already. Mentioned in verse 3. He's not named. In Hebrews 11:3, let me remind you, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The we there, so not only are Abel and Enoch both charter members of the Hall of Fame of Faith, we are listed here as well. We must prepare for crisis in our journey of faith. We must be reminded that it's going to take a life of consistency with God. Continuously walking with Him every day. So I ask you tonight, how is your walk? How is your walk with God?